रामाय रामभद्राय रामचंद्राय वेदसे रघुनाथाय नाथाय सीतायाः पतये नमः. अयोध्याकांड चैप्टर नंबर 57. सुमंत्रा रिटर्न्स टू अयोध्या. द रेसिटेशन बिगिंस नाउ. गुहा विद अ ब्रेकिंग हार्ट वॉच्ड अलोंग विद सुमंत्रा अंटिल रामा एंड हिज पार्टी वर लॉस्ट टू द डिस्टेंस. He could not enough enlarge upon the superhuman excellences of his beloved friend. For all that, he had to return sad and disappointed to his quarters. Later on, he informed Sumantra of the news brought him by his messengers of Rama's movements, their visit to the hermitage of sage Bharadwaja, their stay with him at Prayaga, and their journey towards Chitrakuta. Sumantra then had nothing left for him to do but to take leave of Guha. He yoked the reluctant horses to the chariot and sorrowfully wended his way back to Ayodhya. Fragrant woods, lovely rivers and lakes, happy hamlets and towns greeted his eye, but he saw them not, and at the evening of the third day he entered the joyless capital. No stir of human life, all silence like the ruined city of the past. It threw a chill on his spirits and he said to himself, "Has this Ayodhya been consumed to ashes by the burning grief of separation from Rama, the gorgeous city teeming with elephants, horses, people, princes and kings?" He urged his jaded horses and neared the gates of the city. But there were crowds and crowds of men, women and children who saw him from afar and hemmed him on all sides, crying, "Our Rama, what has become of him?" And Sumantra replied to them, "My good people, the Great One allowed me to proceed with him only as far as the Ganga, and his orders were upon me to return to Ayodhya." The tears of the people streamed afresh at these terrible news, and they sighed heavily as they exclaimed, "Wonderful, incredible, verily our sins are beyond count and unspeakably heinous. To return for us this dreadful harvest of grief, fie upon our lives. O Rama, how had you the heart to go away from us, knowing full well that despair and grief would be our only portion?" They gathered in knots everywhere and exclaimed, "A curse on our miserable life, who erstwhile beheld this very same chariot adorned with Rama and Sita and are not ashamed to behold it now, dark and hideous, unilluminated by their glorious presence. Rama was the life and soul of us all. You are sure to find him everywhere. Wherever any one of us gives away in charity, he will carefully watch whether the gift is made at the right place and the right time and to a deserving object. You cannot miss him from any yaga or yajna. He would ascertain whether the wealth used therein was fairly acquired. He would be ever at hand to clear any doubts as the procedure or the ritual. You can rely upon him to remind you of any lapse or mistake ere it is too late. You will find him at weddings making anxious inquiries about the parity of the parties in birth, character and wealth, and whether the match was a suitable one from all points of view. If considerations of wealth threaten to break off such an alliance, his generosity would ever remove the obstacle. He would not allow the slightest detail of the religious rites to be omitted. Yagas, yajnas, feasts, festivals. There was no public activity at Ayodhya, but he was there to see that thing went off well. Ah, is it given to us to behold that noble one once again? The protector of us all, who eagerly and untiringly sought out everything that could conduce to our pleasure, benefit our well-being, and fulfill our heart's wishes to the utmost. That person has gone away from our midst, he who watched over us with paternal care, and alas, we live to see that evil day." And so wailed and grieved the women of Ayodhya from the lofty mansions and the stores that lined the royal road, while Sumantra took his way to the king's palace, his heart heavy with grief that he could share with none, and his eyes and ears pained with sights and sounds which he was impotent to relieve. He feared that his iron fortitude might break under the strain. He covered his face and drove on as fast as possible to where Dasharatha abode, and passed through seven courts. The people stood at the palace gates in dense crowds, their hearts full of dark forebodings at Dasharatha's long absence and desperate plight. The women of the palace, who eagerly looked forward to see Sumantra return with Rama, received a terrible shock when they beheld the aged minister driving back in the lonely chariot and cried, "Alas! Alas!" in the bitterness of their grief. They stared at one another in blank amazement like a parcel of lunatics. The royal ladies saw him arrive and trooped into the apartments of Kaushalya in eager expectation of the news that Sumantra had brought. They talked to one another in low whispers as Dasharatha was near. "He that went out of the city with Rama in his chariot has even come back into it without him. We would hear what he would say to Kaushalya, who is tortured with indescribable grief. Marvelous indeed is her fortitude or her hold on life, even after her darling son Rama had been exiled to the forest. She and she alone is equal to the terrible task." Sumantra heard it but too distinctly. Dare he say nay? His sorrow grew upon him every moment. He entered the eighth court and the last, only to find it dull and gloomy, and Dasharatha lying senseless with the grief of separation from his son. He drew near, bowed low over joined palms, and delivered the message of Rama. Dasharatha listened to it in silence and fell on the ground in a dead faint, his grief overpowering his iron will. Everyone cried, "Ha! Ha!" while Kaushalya and Sumitra sprang forward to raise him up and lead him back to his bed. Then she that bore Rama raised her voice and cried in grief, "O magnanimous king! Here stands the messenger sent by my son from his forest abode, my son who has chosen to walk upon a path that none else would dare to tread. Speak to him. Why are you silent? It came to you smooth and easy enough to grant Kaikeyi whatever boon she might ask, and glad was your heart then. Rama betook himself to the forest in consequence. Marvelous indeed it is to see you betray shame and grief thereat. I would like to know what stood in the way of your calculating all these chances before. Get up, please. What have you to do with the grief and sorrow or the broken hearts of others? You have the proud consolation of having kept your word to your favorite queen, and you have laid up a special merit thereby. That is more than enough. But my wretched self am powerless to share my grief with any others. All alone and unaided, I must bear my cross. Think you to console me by pretending to grieve overmuch? That is a waste of rare commodity with you, for I see through your wiles. I have torn the mask off your face and see your true self behind it. Perhaps you cry and rave to keep up your appearances and stand well with the world, which will point a finger of scorn at you and exclaim, 'Lo, unnatural father!' You may spare yourself that anxiety, for the world is but too well acquainted with the esteem you hold your poor Rama in. Maybe you do not like to ask Sumantra of any news from Rama, afraid of Kaikeyi's accusing eye. Fear not! Kaikeyi is nowhere to be found here. Take heart and speak out." Tears choked her utterance and she fell down like an uprooted tree and fainted away. Kaushalya's laments, her dead faint, Dasharatha staring blankly before him. Such strange and dreadful sights were too much for the royal ladies there, and they raised their voices and cried plaintively. The attendants took it up. The crowds that stood outside prolonged it, until the palace of the king, its precincts, nay, Ayodhya, far and near, resounded with cries, wails, laments, groans, and moans. The city seemed like a storm-tossed ocean, stirred to its very depths, even as it was when Rama went away from it. Mangalam Kaushalendraya Mahaniya Gunapte Chakravarti Dhanurjaya Sarva Bhomaya Mangalam.